Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. I don't know if I've ever felt more like a stranger than I do now in my world. And the things they're talking about and the things they're doing. We're strangers and pilgrims. But notice the next phrase, elect, chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. We have the Trinity right there in one verse. God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son, all working together. And then notice what it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. If you underline things in your Bible, I encourage you, underline the phrase lively hope. Boy, everything they're doing in our world today is trying to take away hope. They can't steal our hope. My hope is in Jesus. Hope in the Word of God. The salvation provided by Christ. Unto a lively hope, how? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice to what? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved, kept, held in heaven for you. Notice in verse number 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Either our last breath will take us to heaven or Jesus soon return. Verse number 6. Now verse 6 through 9 is really the place where we got the thoughts today. But it's hard to read 6 through 9 without the others, because verse number 6 says, wherein? Wherein you greatly rejoice. What are you rejoicing in? Salvation. Heaven. God's power. The blessings that we've had. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. You know, I was driving down the road the other day. You know, there are some trees that are already beginning to change a little. It's like, really? What's going on? You know, fall will be here before you know it. We've been cooped up for spring. We missed spring this year. Most of summer. But we'll be released in time for a great winter. Go out and have all the fun you want. And then we'll be locked back up the rest of the year. Wherein you greatly rejoice, so now for a season. I put in the margin of my Bible, God determines the length of my trial. A season. Just a season. Growing up in Florida, we didn't really know what a season was. I talked about it. Fall, winter, spring, summer, big deal. It was either hot or it wasn't as hot. That was about it. But here, the seasons, you know, they're rather short. And then the little phrase, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. We'll explain all that in a moment. That the trial of your faith, you say, why am I going through this? It's a testing of your faith. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Chrissy, you're left-handed. I didn't know that. Welcome to the club. I just noticed that. Praise the Lord. I like you more and more every day. I really do. Man, I am honored that you're my friend. Though we're not in good company, because Bill Clinton and Barack Obama are both left-handed. So, yeah, amen. There are anomalies to it. But being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Squirrel. Yeah, amen. Though it be tried with fire, notice what? Might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God has a plan for your life. Whom having not seen you love. You know, we had to, Alex and Amariah singing about worship. With love. I've never seen Jesus, but I want you to know something. I love Him. I'm so grateful that He has changed and He is changing my life. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice what Tina and them sang about. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we come into your presence. We're truly honored to be in this place with this group of people. Not just the ones that are physically here, but the ones that are participating online. We pray that today, God, you'd speak to our hearts. You would challenge us. That today would truly be a day where we allow you to minister to us. We come into this room, we come to this place, this moment in time, from many different directions. We're carrying different burdens of different weights. But Lord, no doubt everyone here is being tried, being tested. Lord, the question often is why? How much? When will it end? Help us today to believe. Help us to love. Help us to continue. We pray for your grace today, your mercy. We thank you for Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. You know, there are times when it seems like everything goes wrong and the bottom falls out. Amber chuckled, bottom falls out. Why does the bottom fall out? I guess that's showing my age. How many of you grew up in a time period before plastic garbage bags and you lined your garbage can with the paper sack from the grocery store? How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right, you did that. How many of you have ever picked up one of those paper sacks and all of the contents remained in the can or on the floor somewhere? And it usually was probably the worst because it soaked through and it was, why does the bottom fall out? And I can remember when we first started getting garbage bags, even Tina and I, when we first got married, we bought the cheapest that you could buy. And after about the third or fourth time of picking up the garbage all over the kitchen, because we are garbage producers. I don't know how many of you others are trashy people, but we Hobsons are trashy people. We produce trash at an enormous rate. And we have two trash cans in our kitchen. You pull out the drawer and they're always full. And you can empty one. You can take one out, a bag out, and set it by the door to take it to the dumpster. And before you get back, the next one is already half full. We produce at an enormous rate of trash. But I remember when we first got married, we bought those. And finally, we made the decision, we're not doing this anymore. So we started buying the good ones. Hefty, hefty, hefty. We've gone back to the cheap ones now, but they're making them a lot better than I used to. But why does the bottom fall? Have you ever wondered in your life why? Why is this going on? I remember reading a story about a man that he didn't even know his life was messed up. He's driving down the road and all of a sudden a policeman pulls him over and he looks at him and the police officer says, hey, you know that you've got a taillight out on the back of your pickup. And the man started crying and weeping and the police officer looked at him and said, sir, don't take it so hard. It's just a minor offense. And the man said, that's not the point. I want to know where my trailer is at with my wife in it. Some of you guys will get that. Maybe things have not happened to you quite as dramatic as that. But nonetheless, I guarantee you that every one of us have had times that it felt like the bottom falling out. There's a ride at the fair, of course, you know, not this year. There's a ride at the fair that the kids get on. And man, that thing goes to swirling around. And then the bottom kind of pulls away from it. I say kids and some people that think they're still kids. And you guys remember this about the fair. Those guys that run it are the ones that put those things together. All right. You're looking at them, you know, Joe Dirt types. And it's like, dude, we don't have a bolt. That's all right. Put the stick in it. It'll be all right. Yeah. But you know, I've wondered about so many things. My mind is filled with useless knowledge. I grew up living, you know, on a cattle ranch, essentially, but for the first many years of my life, I grew up in a house that was attached to our grocery store, and at night, you just didn't go out and play in the neighborhood. It was a rough neighborhood. And so we cooped up at home, and back then, you know, had you, what, 3 or 4 channels maybe? And if my dad wanted to watch something, that was it. You either enjoyed that or you went to your room. That was kind of the rule. You didn't have your own TV. You didn't have anything. But my parents bought me a set of encyclopedias, so I started reading them. I got all the way through G. So I have knowledge up to the letter G, all right? But that's about it. But I don't know why I never finished, but I read everything. The Encyclopedia Britannica. So I am full of useless knowledge. I wonder this. If it was a 3-hour cruise, why did Mrs. Howe take so many clothes? Why didn't glue stick to the inside of the bottle? Why is it? Why have they not produced a mouse-flavored cat food? Why do they report power outages on TV? There's one. Why? This is kind of old school, but still. Why do they lock the bathrooms at gas stations? Are they afraid somebody's going to sneak in and clean it? Yeah, amen. Steal tissue like there's any tissue in it. Why? Have you ever asked this question? Why did this happen in my life? Why did the bottom fall out of that? Well, I'm telling you, it was an end bang. Verse number 6. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Number 1 today, here's a thought. Trials that are painful in their encounter. Painful in their encounter. Peter speaks of the heaviness that comes to the manifold temptations. The word manifold there means varied or many. The word temptation speaks of adversity or trials. There are different types of trials. We know that. The psalmist writes this in Psalm 34:19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And in my Bible, I'm pretty sure I've got the word many circled. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. What a great God we serve. John writes this, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Jesus is telling these men that as he's going to the cross, he says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You know, there are Blue Mondays and Black Fridays and all these things that are happening in our lives. We have good days and bad days, but we still live those days. They're painful sometimes, but we often learn from pain. Our trials are sometimes physical, emotional, and spiritual. My trials and your trials come in many shapes and colors and styles. And God allows them to come oftentimes because He has reason for it. They may come from heaven. One writer said, they may come from hell. They may come from a friend. They may come from a foe. They may come in the night. They may come in the light. It may be one kind of trial this week and another kind next week. But God's still in control. There are different kinds. And then there's the distressing time of them. I identify with the writer of the psalm that wrote, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. I've never thought that before. It's just like Southwest Airlines, they play on that, or used to. I don't know about now. You know, get away. You want to get away, just go down and buy whatever ticket it is. Heaviness, though. Notice in verse number 6, he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. The word heaviness carries with it the thought of distress or to cause grief or to become sorrowful. Trials can be very distressing, very devastating, and even if we're not careful, very depressing. They can leave us in great heaviness. The writer of the psalm said that he was so distressed, so discouraged, so despairing of life that he wished he could just fly off into the night and never come back. I want you to know something. The bottom falling out of life describes these types of encounters. Many times they're painful. The good news is, often a painful encounter, I learn many things in that time. Most every one of us in here have scars, physical scars. We've learned some things. I've learned, this hand right here, you never play mumbly peg and allow your friend to do the knife with your fingers. How many of you know what mumbly peg is? Mumbly peg is you put your hand down and you take a knife and you see who can go through the fastest. All right, you go between each part. Well, my friend Donnie Register said, "Hey, let me do that." And I said, "Go ahead. I've got a scar right there." He stabbed all the way through my hand. You know what he said? Oops. He's in prison today for killing the guy. He was a lunatic back then. And he was my friend, and I let him stab me in the hand. You know what? I learned from that. Many others, hey, y'all, watch this. Famous last words of a lot of people. Painful. I have some other things that I seemingly didn't cause, but they happened. And oh, they're so painful. Probably not a one of us in this room have not spent time where we've wept in the middle of the night, thinking no one knows, no one cares. May I tell you this? We serve a God that knows and that cares. Cry those tears. Let that heart pour out to Him. He's the only one that can help. But there are painful things. Number two, we see not only painful experiences, but here's what I love about the Word of God, I love about our God. Trials that are purposeful in their experience. I mentioned it a moment ago, but I'm going to read the verse again. Verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. I'm rejoicing in my salvation. I'm rejoicing in the fact that God is in control. I'm rejoicing in a place that is reserved for me in heaven. I'm rejoicing in the fact that I'm kept by the power of God. I'm rejoicing in those things, but notice verse number 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, underline, circle, somehow or another, recognize it, if need be. If need be. Peter is saying that sometimes there's a need for the bottom to fall out. Isn't it strange? We would never think of there ever being a need for things to go wrong in life. But it may be that sometimes God says, I have a purpose for this. And I think I put down 3 or 4 different thoughts this morning. Letter A in your notes today. One of the purposes is it may be God's way of breaking us. How many of you in here lean a little toward the strong-willed type? Christy, Tina, Lisa, yes, I know. No, sir, we all, amen, all right. Yes, Jatana, Josh, Amber, oh, God bless you, Tim, amen. Jenny, oh, most of them are women. Most of them are women. Huh? You know, you men, amen, you married strong-willed women. But it may be God's way of breaking us. I've gone through this before. You know, the prodigal son, he thought that he needed something else that God had not designed for him. You know, a lot of times the painful experiences come because we determined to choose something that really wasn't God's will for our life. We kind of get outside of God's will. Prodigal son said, I want to have it all now. But I love the story. When he came to himself, you know what he said? I'm going back home. God sometimes breaks us. I put in your notes another verse that the psalmist writes. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. You know, we learn some things whenever God begins to break us. I read the illustration about a man that was an elder in the Presbyterian church, and he'd made a tremendous amount of money in business. The more money he made, a little bit more busy he got, and some of the things that were going on in his life kind of pulled away from the things of God, and just seemingly overnight, he saw his business collapse. Saw his fortune vanish. He came in to meet with the pastor one day, and he said, the pastor just was really set up for a long counseling session and encouragement and all that. And the businessman came in and sat down, and he said, I'm glad that I failed because I was getting away from God, and I'm ready to come back now. You know, sometimes God breaks us. There's stories about it. You read the book of Ruth. Naomi said this. She said, I went away. And boy, she was full and everything. She said, no, you guys call me Mara. Now I'm bitter. I'm empty. You know what happened? She got away from God, and God began to work events in her life for a purpose. Who'd have ever thought that whenever those sailors threw Jonah out of the boat, that God had a purpose and all that? Sent a whale along. He spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, which is an unbelievable miracle. But it's a symbol. It's a picture of the 3 days and three nights that Christ spent in the tomb. There's a purpose for it. That old fish spit him up on land, and what did Jonah do? Jonah said, you got me, Lord. I'll do it. And he did. He went and followed God. You can be certain of this. When you leave the light, there's coming a night. You walk away from the light, God's going to bring a nighttime in your life. Trials, as someone said, trials are God's megaphone to get our attention. Our nation's going through some of those. 36-year-old Boston woman years ago became the victim of amnesia. For 3 months, she wandered around on the streets. But during a severe thunderstorm, she suddenly remembered who she was and where she was from. The storm jolted her memory back. How often do the storms of life jolt us back? Purpose. Maybe God's way of breaking us, it may be God's way of building us. Building us. Someone has said that God's trials are His divine gymnasium where He develops our spiritual muscles. Here, you're first, Peter. Hold your finger here in the first chapter and go with me to chapter number 5. By the way, who wrote the book of Peter, 1 Peter? Peter did, right? Peter the Apostle. If anybody understands trials for breaking and building, it would be Peter, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, go with me to verse number 10. Verse number 10. God has a way of using trials to build us. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, notice this, after ye have suffered a while. A while. How long is a while? It can be a long time sometimes. It can be 34 years for some people. But notice, after a while, what makes you perfect, complete, establish, strengthen, settle you? I don't know how long your while is, but I know this, God knows how long it is. Sometimes God takes us through some things to build us. Years ago, we had a man in our church that he passed away a couple years ago, as a matter of fact. He was a part of the original Navy SEALs. He was a man that during the Korean War, before they even started calling them SEALs, they were just frogmen back then. On several occasions, they put him behind the lines, miles away from it. Very little communication, all that, just to gather intelligence on what was going on. He and I talked on several different occasions of some of the training that he went through for that. And he says, unbelievable. I understand Navy SEALs today still go through that type of training in October every year. But what they're doing is they take them through the training to break them so they can build them again. You know, sometimes God does that to us. He says, that will that you have needs to be broken for my glory. Sometimes God uses the bottom falling out to prune us, to make us better. Illustration of a man that was watching a lumberjack. I've always been fascinated by the places where they cut the logs and they float them down the rivers to the sawmill. And the guys walk on top of those logs, moving around and making sure they don't get all hung up and stuff. And that seems like such a cool but dangerous job. But there was a man that was watching all that. And after the fellow got finished with his shift and he came off, he began to ask the lumberjack, he said, what were you doing out there? He says, I know that you were keeping them from bunching up. He said, but I saw some that you were diverting to a different place. And he said, you were sticking that. He has a pole that has a sharp end on it. And certain ones, he says, the ones that the stick bounced off of, those are the ones you moved. He said, well, he says, you got to realize that whenever these logs come downstream, they've been cut from different places. He says, the trees that grow in the valley, he said, they have a rather large grain. They've never experienced storms and all. So we shift those off to for them to be made into regular lumber. And he says, but the ones that come off the mountaintop, they've been through the storms and their grain has tightened up. And it's such a much more beautiful tree. It's such a more, has more strength in it than the others. And we separate those out. We don't allow those to go to regular lumber. Those are for special purposes. And I thought, wow, I live on the mountaintop. I don't know about you guys, but I hope that my grain is closing up and I hope that I'm getting stronger through all that. Sometimes God allows those things to go through our lives and happen in our lives because He's building us. And then letter C in your notes is it's oftentimes God's way of blessing us. Blessing us. I put a quote, I think, in your notes, and Amber, you got it on the slide. The thickest cloud may bring the heaviest shower of blessing. Charles Spurgeon, if you read any kind of religious literature, you'll read books written by, which were actually sermons of Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was probably one of the most famous of all the preachers in our lineage. And he began to conduct services in the Royal Surrey Garden Music Hall in London. And you got to remember, he started pastoring this great church when he was 18 or 19, he was still a young man. The newspapers around the world carried his sermons in them, oftentimes front page news. Different time back then, wasn't it? The building seated 12,000 when it was filled, and another 10,000 could get around the outside and still hear. A group of young men had conspired to disrupt the services, and while Spurgeon was praying, they began to yell, "Fire! The galleries are falling!" In the midst of a church service, 22,000 people, 25,000 by the time everything said and done. Panic broke out, and 7 people were trampled to death. There were 28 that were seriously injured. Spurgeon fell apart and had to be carried from the platform. The emotional shock and strain of the tragedy almost caused him to leave the ministry. Years later, he wrote this in his autobiography. He said, "That frightful calamity, the impression of which can never be erased from my mind, became in the providence of God one of the most wonderful means of turning public attention to the services. God used those people's death to draw attention." And he said, "And I do not doubt that fearful catastrophe, though it was, has been the mother of a multitude of blessings." You know what he's saying? God used that tragedy to bless. It may be that God wants to build us. Maybe God wants to break us. Sometimes it's just because God wants to bless us. Why does the bottom fall out? There's a lot of reasons. Number 3. Trials not only have a purpose, but they're also productive in their effect. Verse number 7, notice it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This verse tells us that the end result of the bottom falling out of life really has 2 reasons, 2 purposes, 2 effects. One is our lives are purified. God uses trials and difficulties to purify the life of the believer. Job says this, and boy, I just got finished listening to the book of Job on my audiobook. And it says this in Job 23, verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take." This is right in the middle of whenever all this stuff's going on with Job. "He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me," you know what he's saying? There's a season to it. "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Peter speaks of being tried with fire. Peter had in mind the furnace of a goldsmith. When I read these things, most of you know that I make bullets, not ammunition. I just make the bullet part of it. I sell those. It's been tremendous for my MS. I've not had an MS problem since I've been doing this. My hands, I still hurt. I still have all that. But it's amazing what just moving physically has helped me so much. But part of the process is I get lead in, and it comes in 25-pound blocks. About as big as that Kleenex box, give or take. But it weighs 25 pounds. And on top of the machine that produces the bullets, that lead has to be transferred from a solid to molten lead. It takes about 710 degrees for that to happen. So what you do, you take that block of lead and you just put it right down in that pot. And Wendell will tell you, it doesn't take long for it to just melt right down. And it's molten. Now, here's the deal. Molten lead and water does not mix. So if you're sweaty and a drop of sweat hits that, it'll splatter. I got some spots on the top of my head. They're just now healing up from one day that splattered and I didn't have my hat on and it burned my scalp. And I'm going to tell you something. Whenever molten burning lead lays on your scalp, you think it's going to burn its way all the way through. And you're just praying, oh God, let it stop before it gets to my brain. There's no, you can't put water on it because it's lead. You don't want it to re-splatter, all right? So you just got to wait. But it splatters and it burns. Oh, it burns. But one of the cool things about it is you put that in and there's always going to be some impurities. It's not pure lead. It's mixed with different alloys in order for it to become hard. But in that pot, what you'll do is you'll look at it and you'll take a spoon and you'll shove in there. I have a big, long metal spoon. Of course, I wear heavy gloves and I'll stir it. And you stir that around and in a moment what happens is little pieces of impurity begin to float to the surface. And what you'll do is you'll scrape that off, and I have a bucket there that I scrape it into. And then I'll stir it some more, and every once in a while, about twice in a casting session, I'll put some wax in there from like a candle or something, and I'll stir that in, and then I'll light it on fire. And then I'll stir that fire into that lead, and it pulls all those impurities to the top and you scrape it off. Literally, whenever your lead is at the right temperature and everything's going good, you can look into the pot and you can almost see your reflection in it. Every time I do that, I'm struck by the similarities between that and how God works in my life and your life. Sometimes He turns on the heat, doesn't He? And He stirs us around. And every once in a while, it's not good enough, so what he's got to do is he's got to drop some things in there and set it all on fire. And he'll take all that old bad stuff and just throw it in that bucket. And you know what's left? A life that's been purified. The end result of the bottom falling out of life is often sin that's confronted, sin that's confessed, and sin that's cleansed out of our life. And all God's people said, man. So when God's stirring you, don't get mad at God. Look at what's floating up. Those are the impurities that God says, hey, I want to scrape those off. Sometimes they're deep. God's got to put that extra stuff in there and really stir that around. The effect is my life is purified. And then, of course, the effect is this. There's a Lord that's glorified. Whenever you and I go through these processes, whenever the bottom falls out and God works in our life, can I tell you something? He gets all the glory. He takes an old wrecked, wretched life and changes that for His glory. I put it in your notes. It's a rather lengthy section. But begin in verse number 11 in your notes. We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the faith or the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why does the bottom fall out of life? Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1. This is as far as we're going today. 1 Peter 1, where we started at. You say, why? Look at the end of verse number 7. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. No longer do we need to live selfish lives. When we go through these issues, when we go through these trials, God's saying, I want to get rid of selfishness and I want to bring in submission. No longer, whenever these things go on in our lives, do we want to flee from God, but God says, follow. Instead of the Lord being grieved by our lives, He can now be glorified by our lives. God knows what's going on. And He's using it in your life. He's using it in my life for your good and His glory. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why does the bottom fall out? God has a reason. Don't harden your heart whenever that happens. Let God heal your heart. Let God hear your prayers and your cries. There's no shame. There's no embarrassment in a saint of God coming before his God and saying, "God, I don't understand, but I trust you." There's no shame in the saint of God saying, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When the bottom falls out, God always tells how far it's going to fall. He has a purpose for it. Sometimes He has pain, but it'll produce a change in our lives, and it'll reflect His glory. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed by God that loves me enough to do whatever it takes to help me to become like Jesus. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.